turn over to Matthew chapter number 5. And I know this has been taught on and here probably recently, I believe, but this thought, I'm going to share this a little bit. We were in Roanoke a couple of weeks ago, and we ran across this couple that we'd known for several years. And they're the same people wherever you see them. I mean, they're the same. They don't come across highfalutin, Brother Lee. They just down-to-earth people, Christian people. We've talked about the Lord. They've raised 4 children, and just a godly couple, godly example. Like I said, they're just the same wherever you see them. And we're headed home, and I made the comment. We were talking about them, and I made the comment. I said, that's salt of the earth people right there. I said, that's salt of the earth people. And that thing's been settling on me for a couple of weeks now. And y'all pray for me tonight. I tell you, it's been several years since I've sat and taught, and I just want the Lord's anointing tonight more than anything. Brother Lee, would you pray, brother? Amen, amen, and amen. All right, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 13, the Bible says, "Ye are the salt." Just as Jesus is talking, by the way, it's in red letters. "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Salt of the earth. That thought has been settling on me for the last couple of weeks. And Jesus here says, and he's talking to his disciples here. He's talking to us as Christians. Because he said there in verse 1 of chapter 5, "Seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain, and when he was set, his disciples came unto him." So he'd just given the Beatitudes. Those are the blessings. And these are the similitudes that the Scripture is talking about here. And what he's doing is he's comparing us with things. He said, "You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt had lost its savor, well, it shall be salted." Now, salt of the earth people. I looked that up. I wanted to see what was said about salt of the earth people. Dictionary.com describes salt of the earth person as this: an individual or group considered as representative of the best or noblest elements of society. Words like principled, righteous, upright go along with this. Honorable. Those words like that go along to describe salt of the earth people. Now, salt is used for seasoning or preserving food. The actual element, salt, is used for seasoning, preserving food. And he's comparing it. He said, "You are the salt." So we are to add flavor. We are to bring flavor to this earth and also preserve it in the sense that we are to live for Christ and be an example for him. You've heard people say that person is salty. Now, that's a little different from what salt of the earth people were talking about here. You've heard somebody say, well, that person's a little salty there. When you use it in that way, it's talking about an angry person, someone who's agitated or upset. And I might say that we are all salty every once in a while, right? Amen. But Jesus wants it to be salt of the earth people. Now, he said, if the salt had lost its savor, well, it shall be salted, is thenceforth good for nothing to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. He said, if the salt has lost its savor, that word means taste. And really what it amounts to is effectiveness. He said, if you've lost your effectiveness, then it says you're good for nothing. So, folks, I'm telling you, we as Christians need to be seeking the Lord's will and following Him and doing what He says. Now, there's four things that I really have, as I thought about the last couple of weeks, that describe salt of the earth people. First of all, I want to say they're settled in the faith. Salt of the earth people are settled in the faith. Turn over to Colossians chapter 1. I hope you have your Bibles with you, and I hope I can hear those pages turning, because I know the phones are nice. It's nice to be able to go to your Bible app and just pull it right up. But this gives you practice. I think it keeps your mind sharp and fresh, so you know where your chapters are in your Bible. So Colossians chapter 1 and verse number 21. Colossians 1 and verse number 21. The Bible says there, "And ye that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight." Verse 23 is key. If you continue in the faith, here it is, grounded and settled. What I said, salt of the earth people, they're settled in the faith. They're settled in the faith. He said they're grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard, and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. How many people nowadays do you see that have turned away from the faith, that have gone another way? You see, a lot of people we see have grown up in church like you and I have grown up in church. But yet, you have these false doctrines that come in, and because they're not grounded in the Word of God, and I'm going to tell you, folks, now, you've got to be grounded. Just simply sitting up here and hearing the preacher preach on Sundays, and that's great. Now, Brother Ken's a wonderful Bible teacher, wonderful Bible preacher. But, folks, that's not enough for us as Christians. We need to be growing. We need to be reading and studying the Word of God and knowing what God says. Because what He'll do is when you get in that Word, He'll start speaking to you individually. Okay? So, all right. So here He says, grounded and settled in the faith. And He said, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. So we need to be settled. Look at chapter 2, same book, Colossians. Look at chapter 2 and verse number 6. The Bible says here, again, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Verse 7, here it is, rooted and built up in Him. And look at this, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with what? Thanksgiving. That's a key thing right there, folks. How many times are we not thankful for the things that He's done for us? How many times are we, as we walk in Him and as we live for Him, we kind of tend to get that mentality of I'm entitled. You know, well, this is something that, you know, hey, you know, I'm, you know, this is the Lord bless me, but you know what? I'm a pretty good old person, whatever. No, none of us are good. We're all wretches. We ought to be in hell right now. But His grace has given us what we have, and we ought to live for it. We ought to be settled, established in the faith. 2 Timothy 1:12 says this, "For the which cause I also suffer these things, nevertheless I am not ashamed." This is what Paul said in the end. Listen, "For I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded." There is that word again, established, settled. I'm persuaded. In other words, Paul said, I'm convinced, he said, that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto Him against that day. He said, I'm persuaded. He said, I know. There's no wavering. See, Paul said there's no wavering as far as I'm concerned. I'm settled and established in the faith. He said, I know whom I have believed. And you see, that's where the basis of your faith is in Him. In Him, talking about Christ. He is the basis of our faith. And if you're going to be established and settled, it's got to be in Him. Okay? All right, now, Romans chapter 8. Let's turn there, please. Romans chapter 8. I want you to see this. We're talking about salt of the earth Christians. Settle in the faith. Settle in the faith. Romans chapter 8. Look in verse 35. The Bible says there. Romans 8:35. Oh, I love this scripture right here. If you ain't highlighted or underlined this, you need to do it. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, listen to this, in all these things we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. Now look in verse 38. For I am, what's that word? Get that in your head. Get that in your mind. You ought to be convinced of this. Listen to what he says. That neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in what? Christ Jesus our Lord. Again, there's the basis for our faith right there. He said, I am persuaded. There it is again. Well, Paul loved that word. He loved to use that word, persuaded. He was convinced. See, you didn't have to worry. He didn't doubt. He said, I'm persuaded. I'm convinced, Brother Mike. He said, I'm convinced that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. So, again, salty dear Christian, you ought to be settled in the faith. Let me ask you this question. This was a title. I kind of skipped over that, but can I be described as a salt of the earth person, salt of the earth Christian? Can you be described as a salt of the earth Christian? Let's examine ourselves as we look through this. He said, I'm persuaded. So we ought to be settled in the faith. We ought to be settled in the faith. Second of all, we ought to be steadfast in the fight. Steadfast. The word steadfast means firm or unwavering. Firm, unwavering. Look in I'll just read it. 1 Corinthians 15:58. The Bible says there, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. So he said, be steadfast, be firm, be unmovable. Again, as I mentioned earlier, you know, how many people have we seen that have fallen by the wayside? They've not stayed with the stuff, as Brother Ken says. They've not stuck with the Word of God. They've not stayed with the truth of God's Word. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, please. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. I want you to see this. Be steadfast in the fight. Steadfast in the fight. We are in a fight. In case you haven't looked, I don't know if you've listened to the news or whatever, I hadn't heard it, but I heard Brendan and Emily were talking about it on the way over. I think, didn't they vote to impeach the president? Is that correct? Is that what? Well, anyway. All right. We'll leave that out. But we're in a mess, folks. I'm telling you, we're in a fight. We're in a battle, and we need to be firm in the Word of God and stay steadfast in the fight. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Look in verse number 3. Now again, when I say steadfast in the fight, we gotta realize who we're fighting, because you know, if you're not careful, you'll miss who you're really fighting. Watch what he says. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. Y'all get that? Though we walk in the flesh, though you see this flesh, I see your flesh, but though we walk in this flesh, we don't war. That's not where the battle is, you see. Look what he says. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Go to Ephesians chapter 6. Now this goes right along with it. Our weapons are not carnal. Okay? We walk in the flesh. We don't war after the flesh. Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Very, very familiar scripture. Very familiar scripture. Ephesians 6, verse number 10, the Bible says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." He said, "Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil." Now, verse 12 ties in on what we've been talking about here, this battle. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. You see, the battle's not against each other. It's not the struggle is not against even people of this world. The people of this world are not really the ultimate enemy. The devil, the demons that are in them, that's the enemy. It's not them. It's the devil. The devil is our enemy. Satan and his minions. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, taking thee the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all to stand. He said, "Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." And what I said about that word back there, being settled in the faith, you got to have that word too. That's one of our weapons. Amen? It's one of our weapons. "Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints." So, again, not only do we be settled in the faith, but we need to be steadfast in the fight. And how are we going to be steadfast if we don't have on these things that He's given us here? How are we going to be steadfast? How are we going to be able to fight without these things that He's given us? Okay, so not only settle in the faith and steadfast in the fight, but thirdly, we need to be the salt of the earth Christian. You're going to find them serving in the fray. You say, "What in the world is a fray?" Well, that's the disturbance. That's the chaos around us. Y'all ever seen a world so chaotic as we're living in right now? We're in a chaotic world, folks. We are in a chaotic world. Serving in the fray. That's the salt of the earth Christian. No matter what's going on around, no matter what things are, what's surrounding you, you're still just going at it. Serving faithfully. "Lord, what would you have me do? Lord, where would you have me go? Lord, how can I serve you today? What can I do for you today?" Look in Joshua 24. I want you to look there. Joshua 24, serving in the fray. My. What a chaotic world we live in. But again, those salt of the earth Christians, just keep on serving. Joshua 24. Joshua 24. And I want us to go back, because I want us to look here, because in this chapter, Joshua is going back and he's given a history lesson. He's given Israel a history lesson over what God has done for them. And I want to go back. I'm not going to get over the whole thing, but I want to go back to verse number 9. Joshua 24, verse number 9. He said, "Then Balak, the son of Zippor, king of Moab, arose and warred against Israel, and sent and called Balaam, the son of Beor, to curse you. But I would not hearken unto Balaam. Therefore he blessed you still. So I delivered you out of his hand." How about that? Now, I never had seen that, but what he said was that they called this Balaam to curse you. But he said, "I didn't hearken. I didn't listen to him." So he said, "I turned it around and blessed you. I blessed you in spite of him." He said, "And I delivered you out of his hand." You see the chaos there in Israel. And you went out over Jordan and came to Jericho, and the men of Jericho fought against you. There's more chaos, more struggles. The Amorites and the Perizzites and the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Girgashites and the Hivites and the Jebusites, and I delivered them into your hand. Man, that was a sight, wasn't it? All right. "And then I sent the hornet before you, which drave them out from you, before you, even the two kings of the Amorites, but not with thy sword, nor with thy bow. So he said, "I did it. You didn't do it, but I did it. I have given you a land for which you did not labor, and cities which you built not, and you dwell in them, of the vineyards and olive yards which you planted not, do you eat." Now look here in verse 14. Okay, now he said, "Now therefore." Now that word "therefore" means, okay, as a result of what I have just told you, we're going to sum it up here. We're going to sum it up. "Now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity." There's that word "serve." Fear him and serve him in sincerity and in truth, and put away the gods from your fathers, which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt. And here it is again. And serve ye the Lord. And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom ye will, there's that word again, serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. But I like what he did here. He sums this up right here, and he says, you can do what you want to do. He said, you can serve whoever you want to serve, but as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. We're going to serve the God. We're going to serve Jehovah God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob. He said, we're going to serve the Lord. And so he again, Joshua summed it all up there in that sentence. And he goes back again. He relives Israel. He tells Israel how God has brought them through, how he's delivered them countless times in the midst of chaos. But he says, keep on serving him. Keep on serving him. Keep on serving him in the midst of chaos. Acts 27 is a very familiar scripture. It talks about Paul. And it's one of those, let's turn to Acts 27. I want you to see this. Acts 27. Paul was on the ship, of course, and I like what Paul had. He had a powerful thing to say right here in the midst of all this. He said here, and I'm just going to pick, it said, verse 7, we had sailed slowly many days, and scarce will come over against Cnidus, the wind not suffering us. We sailed under Crete over against Salmon, and much time was spent. Verse 9. Verse 10, he says, sirs, I perceive this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. We're in that time right now because we've got preachers preaching the truth all over this country, and yet people are saying, no, that's not it. You know, and they're going off, they're drifting off into hell. And our country is going that way. And, you know, we've got to heed the word, folks. We've got to heed the warning and the word that's being preached to us. Verse 14, not long after there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euryclidon. So they did sail anyway, even though Paul warned them. God told Paul. Paul warned them. He gave them the warning. He was God's mouthpiece there, but yet they didn't heed it. When the ship was caught and could not bear it with the wind, we let her drive. Running under a certain island, which is called Claudia, we had much work to come by the boat, which when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, straight sail, and so we were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us. I love the way they said that, no small tempest. That means it was big. Folks, that means it was just, I mean, this was a storm, y'all. When neither sun nor stars many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long absence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them. Boy, what a mess. Man of God, stand up and say, when you sit, I mean, you said all these things, darkness, days and days of darkness, not even seeing the sun. But yet Paul stood up and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me. You should not have loosed from Crete and have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer. First of all, he said, look, he scolded them. He said, you shouldn't have listened to me. I told you. I told God had spoken through Paul. I told you so. He said, you should have listened. But then he turns around after he got on to him and he exhorted him. He said, I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. He said, the ship's going to be destroyed. But guess what? You're going to be okay. You're going to be all right. For there stood by me this night. Here it is now. The angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. Whose I am and whom I serve. You see, even in the midst of chaos, even in the midst of what they were facing, and folks, listen, that was a life and death thing. They were facing death. But yet, Paul had the confidence to say this. He said, that stood by me this night, the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. He said, I serve God. I serve. And he said, no matter what the chaos is, I'm still serving God. I'm still serving God. Are we a salt of the earth people? Are we a salt of the earth Christian? Serving in the fray or in the chaos. I want you to see something right here about serving. 2 Kings 2. I want you to see something here. 2 Kings 2. This is something I've never seen until I was studying this. And this just really, really stood out to me. 2 Kings 2. And we'll move on to the next point. But I want you to see this before we move on. 2 Kings chapter 2. And this is where, this is chapter, of course, where the Lord takes Elijah up in the chariot of fire there. And Elisha's standing there with him. I love the story. If you've never read this chapter, you ought to go through and read this. I love how Elisha was faithful to stay with Elijah. And really, ultimately, for him to receive a double portion, Elijah told him, said, unless you see me, it's not going to happen. You know, so, and he had opportunity to stay behind, you know, because Elijah would tell him when he'd come to these different places, Jericho and even at Jordan, you know, he said, you know, you can tarry here. Elijah said, no, but I'm going to stay with you. I'm going to stay with you. And we see where Elijah's taken up, and we see where his mantle falls, of course, on Elisha. And in chapter 2 and verse 17, I'm sorry, hold on a minute. Verse 19. And the men of the city said unto Elisha, okay, Elijah's gone. He's gone to heaven with the Lord. Elisha's on the scene. The men of the city said to Elisha, behold, I pray thee, the situation of this city is pleasant, as my Lord seeth. But the water is naught. In other words, the water is bad. Water is bad. It's not drinkable. We can't sustain life with it. And the ground's barren. You know, it's interesting here, too, that, again, going back to our situation in our country now, the men of the city, they didn't go to the mayor. They didn't go to the councilman. They went to the man of God. They went to the man of God. You see, nowadays you find people, we got bad water. It's like the deal in Flint, Michigan. We're blaming the council, and we're blaming this, that, and the other. And they're going seeking help there. They went to the man of God. They went to the man of God. And they said, the water's not, it's bad, the ground's barren. Look what he said right here. He said, bring me a new cruse and put salt therein. Now, we're talking about salt of the earth people. And we're going to correlate here. And they brought it to him. In verse 21, and he went forth into the spring of the waters and cast the salt in there and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed these waters. There shall not be from thence any more death or barren land. So the waters were healed unto this day according to the saying of Elisha, which he spake. He took the salt and he cast it in the waters. And what did it say it did to the waters? It healed them. Healed the waters. So salt has a healing thing to it. It has a healing property to it. Salt of the earth people should have a healing property to them as well. Your character, your attitude should be that of healing. Folks, how many people around you are hurting? I mean, how many people we come in contact on a daily basis that are, man, they're hurting. I mean, they're struggling. I mean, they're going through difficult times in their lives. We ought to be a healing fountain for them. We ought to be a healing fountain. I mean, the thing that God, we should allow Him to live through us in a way that we could give them healing, okay? And so, again, he said, and the thing is here, the salt didn't heal the waters. The Lord healed the waters, but He used the salt to do it. He used the salt, just like He'll use us if we'll submit to Him and say, Lord, let me be salt. Let me be salt for somebody today. Let me be salt. Let me be that healing fountain. So, settled in the faith, steadfast in the fight, serving in the fray, the chaos. But lastly, they're seeking a glorious future. Seeking a glorious future. Hebrews 11, I want you to see this. Hebrews 11, I love this right here. My. Hebrews 11, the hall of faith. Hebrews chapter 11. Starting in verse 8, I want you to see what he says here, Abraham. Hebrews 11, verse 8. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place, and we're talking about seeking a glorious future, seeking a city, he said there, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should thereafter, which should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. Verse 10. For he looked. He looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Through faith, Sarah also herself received strength to conceive seed, and was delivered of a child when she was past age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore sprang there even a one, and him as good as dead, so many as the stars of the sky in multitude, and as the sand which is by the seashore innumerable. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having, what's that word? They saw them. Wait a minute now, but it says they didn't receive them. They did, because they saw them. They saw them by faith, through eyes of faith. Having seen them afar off, and were, here's that word, I love this word, persuaded. There it is again. They were persuaded. They were convinced. By, listen, do you know how you can tell if you're convinced that this Bible is so? By how you live. By what you do. They're persuaded. He said, and embraced them. Not only are they persuaded, they embraced them. And confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. He said, and truly if they had been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to return. But now they desire a better country, that is, in heavenly. We're talking about salt of the earth people seeking that better country. That is a heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he hath prepared for them a city. One more place I want to go and we'll be done. Revelation 21. I want you to see that city. That city that he's talking about. Revelation 21. Seeking a glorious future. My. What a future we have as children of God. What a future we have as a child of God. My gracious, I'm telling you, you think about how God, in that song that Emily sang about the maker of the stars and the He calms the wind. You think about a God that is that big and is that powerful to be able to think about how He loves me and how He loves you. And He took the time. He gave the best He had to give us life. My goodness, Brother Vince. My. And this is what's waiting on us, folks. This is what's waiting on us. And I saw, just as John speaking, but he said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with man, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself shall be with them and be their God. And oh my, oh listen now, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no death, no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. Look down there in verse number 20. I'm sorry. In verse number 22, And I saw no temple therein, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb of the temple of it. And the city had no need of the sun, neither of the moon, to shine in it, for the glory of God did lighten it, and the Lamb is the light thereof. And the nations of them which are saved, that is, which are saved, shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth who bring their glory and honor into it, and the gates of it shall not be shut at all by day, for there shall be no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it, and there shall in no wise enter into it anything that defileth, neither whatsoever worketh abomination or maketh a lie, but they which are written in the Lamb's book of life. And I love in the next chapter here, in verse 20, he said, He which testifieth these things saith, here it is, red letters, Jesus, surely I come quickly. And then John said, Amen. He said, Amen. He said, Amen. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Can we be a salt? Can we be considered a salt of the earth, Christian? Can we be considered a salt of the earth, Christian? Settled in the faith, steadfast in the fight, serving in the fray. We're seeking a glorious future. Thank you, Brother Mike. Appreciate it.